The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simen Reish Zayin, Din Nichum Avelim. This simen discusses the mitzvah of being Menachem Avel, consoling people that lost a relative. And the source of this mitzvah, if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Avel, we learn, the Pasuk tells us, V'ahavta l'recha kamecha. We know you're supposed to love your fellow Jew as yourself. And from here, the Chachamim learn, besides the feelings that you're supposed to have, but a person's supposed to take specific actions in order to help another Jew. And the actions that Rambam describes are different forms of gemilus chesed, of doing kindness, and specifically, hachnasas kala, helping beautify a wedding, and adding simcha to the wedding, havas hameis, participating in a levaya, and honoring the deceased, and nichum avelim, which is to console people that lost a relative. So this is a form of the mitzvah of ahavta l'recha kamecha, to love a fellow Jew like oneself. Now the Rambam says that the structure, the fact that these specific actions became concrete obligations, that's more of a rabbana, more of a rabbinic concept, but that's really the source. Now the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch over here, when he begins, he gives a beautiful introduction to the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. This is what it says. Mitzvah gedayla l'nachum avelim. It's a great mitzvah to console mourners. U'matzinu b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu sh'nichum avelim. We find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself consoled mourners. The Chassidus, the Pasuk says, v'hi acher mois Avraham, that after Avraham Avinu passed away, v'yivarech elikim az Yitzchak b'noi, that he gave a blessing, gave a bracha to Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. So Chazal understand that that means a form of nichum avelim. Now it's a fascinating thing in general, when we find the Torah telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did certain actions. Now we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not doesn't have human qualities at all. But even so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does actions that are human type of actions, or at least the Torah describes it like that, in order to teach us the importance of those things. The most perhaps famous one is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he made man, when he made Adam Arishon, he said, Nasa Adam, he consulted with others. Now, obviously, Hashem doesn't need to consult with others, but it's to teach us a lesson that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, so to speak, consult with others, so all the more so do we need to do the same. And here also, if the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself went and showed sympathy and showed support to Yitzchak after he lost his father Avraham Avinu, so that's to drive home a very important lesson, the great importance of this mitzvah. Now the Kitzur continues, Gemilus Chesed Imachayim V'Imameisim. He says there's a double mitzvah here, because it's a Gemilus Chesed, it's Imachayim, it's doing kindness to the living people, that's obvious, because they just lost someone, and you show them your support, you show them we're here for them, so it helps them deal with the loss. But the Kitzur continues, V'Imameisim, and it's with the deceased as well. And the reason is, because by the mourners accepting Tanchum and accepting consolement at the place where the Neshama passed away, or in general, the fact that they're sitting and remembering the person that deceased, this brings a nachas ruach, it brings a certain calming spirit to the neshama, to the soul of the person that passed away. So the mitzvah of nichum avelim has a double component. It's both a chesed, it's both a kindness for the living, and it's a kindness for the person that was deceased. Now, the Kitzur begins the actual halachas of it by telling a very important halacha. There's a halacha that we have to understand it properly. It says the following: Ein hamenachem im reshoyin liftoach piyem achiyiftach ha'avol tchila. It says that those that come to console the mourner, they shouldn't open their mouth. They shouldn't start giving words of consolement until the mourner begins. Kedematzino be'iyov, as we find in Iyov, right, that he had a tremendous loss. Shenemar ve'ein dover elov davar, and when his friends came to console him, they didn't tell him anything. that Eve opened his mouth, and then it says that his friends tried to console him. These are the friends of Eve that consoled him about his tremendous losses. Now, we have to understand a few things about this halacha. First of all, it would seem on a simple level that this halacha means that for some reason one is not allowed to begin talking to the avil. And because of this, we find discussions in Paiskim or different stories about that, you know, a person goes to make a shiva call and the avil's not talking. Maybe the avil's tired. The whole day he was talking, right? And so the people are just sitting there. So it's this like uncomfortable silence of waiting who's going to talk. So I saw brought that a certain gadol would go and say this halacha. He would say the halacha is that you cannot start consoling before the avil says something. So then the avil himself would sort of get the hint, and he would say something, and that would be enough. I saw others, for example, he was sitting in such a situation, a different gadol, and the avil gave like a sigh or something else or a nod, and the gadol said, "Oh, that's enough." Now, truthfully, many Paiskim say that it all depends on the situation, that obviously if it's uncomfortable or if it's for the benefit of the mourner to begin talking to them, then that is the correct thing to do. Now, I was thinking, if you really go into it further, that what's the reason why the mourners are not supposed to begin talking? I'm sorry, why is it that the visitors are not supposed to begin talking? So I was thinking perhaps that the reason is because that if a person's in pain, so for the person that's consoling them to start talking, and so they're really just giving their own ideas. They're not responding to what that person needs to hear. You know, maybe that person's not ready to hear whatever the visitor has to say. Many times they go to a shiva house and people come and they tell the mourner all their different ideas and pshatim and whatever it is. But who says the mourner is ready to hear that? He's in pain. He just suffered his loss. He's not ready to hear how everything's really basharit and whatever people want to tell him. So therefore, the idea of consoling a person, like any form of chesed, is you have to look to see what the needs of the person are and then to respond to that. So therefore, if we wait for the avil to say, because you see what the avil wants. Is he interested in just silence? Is he interested in just a good word? Does he want to hear something more elaborate? So therefore, it has to be centered around the avil, not centered around the visitors coming and saying whatever's on their mind, and sort of almost doing it for themselves as opposed to doing it for the avil. Now, if my idea is correct, then it would make a lot of sense, the idea that the Paiskim say that in a situation the avil doesn't feel comfortable to begin talking, right? So then it would be very sensible that if the purpose of the visitor beginning a conversation is in order to make it easier for the avil to talk, and it's for the purpose of consoling the avil, then that would be a very good reason why one would be allowed to begin. Now, practically speaking, it's a very good idea for a person who is, unfortunately, in avelus, who is sitting shiva, to be aware of this halacha, and to know that all you have to do is sort of say something, say a word or something like that, in order to avoid this question, and therefore it makes it a lot more comfortable for people that are coming to pay a shiva call, and they're not really sure, and they're aware of this halacha, they're not sure exactly what they're supposed to do. Now there's another halacha here at the end of this seif, which says the following: Kesheroyim haMenachem shaHa'avel Poitereisam. When the visitors, when the consolers see that the avel, the mourner, is sort of hinting that they should leave, Einam Rishon Leishiv Eslay, they should not stay there. And perhaps the reason here is as well because we don't want it, because if that's not what the avel wants, if he wants to be alone, then obviously we need to respect that. The Paiskim discuss two interesting questions regarding to the laws of Nicham Aveilim. Now, one question is, what about doing Nicham Aveilim on the telephone? You know, today we have telephones, or what about sending a letter? And basically, the idea that many Paiskim say in different ways is that, obviously, a personal visit has much more strength and much more meaning than just a letter or just a phone call. You know, especially if the idea is to come to the place where the person passed away, and the neshama, the soul, gets some sort of nachas ruach, some sort of pleasure from that visit, then obviously that's not going to be necessarily accomplished with a telephone call or a letter. However, it's brought that many gedolim, they wrote letters for condolences, and it seems from the letters that they viewed it not just as a nice thing to do, but as some form of fulfilling nicham avelim. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal has a tshuva. He writes about using the telephone, and he says also that it's not the same thing as a personal visit, but it definitely is something. And based on this, so it would seem that definitely if a person cannot come in person, it's correct to call them or send them a letter. That would definitely be a correct thing to do. It is just a practical point, which is good to mention, is many times people call the Ovel, and he's busy talking to other people, and it becomes very uncomfortable and almost like a nuisance that the Ovel's trying to talk to the people that actually came to visit him, and he's getting calls every second. This one wants to talk to him, and that one wants to talk to him. So it's important when one calls an Ovel to be sensitive that the point of this mitzvah, like we said before, is for the Ovel, not for oneself, that they feel bad or they want to say something. So therefore, they should, first of all, be very brief, you know, unless ask the Ovel if, you know, how much who wants to talk for, you know. Many times the Ovel will say he has people sitting there and he doesn't want to be long. And in general, to realize that the main purpose here is for the Ovel, and therefore, if the calling and doing that sort of thing during the Shiva is going to just be a nuisance, then obviously that would not be the correct thing to do. The other question is, we know when we previously learned the laws of Sudas Havrom, that's the Sudum that's prepared for the mourner, that it says that men are supposed to do for men and women are supposed to do for women. The idea is that if men do for women and vice versa, then it's not appropriate because it creates a sort of a mingling and, you know, the fact that the man is helping the woman or vice versa, so it creates a certain place for a michshel, place for people of a stumbling block as far as keeping the proper boundaries between men and women. Now, what about when it comes to nicham avel, when it comes to consoling a person that had a loss? So here the Paiskim say that do not differentiate. They say a man could be menachem avel a woman and vice versa. Now, obviously, if a house has many people sitting together and it's going to be mingling of men and women, it's not appropriate. But many times, let's say the Ovel, let's say, is a woman and the Rav or someone wants to be Menachem Ovel, so they'll go into a side room, you know, in an appropriate way, and he'll be Menachem Ovel. You know, or sometimes they'll go to the doorway of where the women are sitting and they'll say the Pasuk of Hamakom Yenachem Eschem, which we'll learn about soon. Again, these are ways where it's definitely appropriate to be menachem avel, a man to a woman, but within certain boundaries. The Sha'ar Mitzvah Balacha brings a fascinating thing that the Minchas Elazar, who was a great Hasidic gadol at in the beginning of the 1900s, he, when the Marash Engel was a great Paisik at the time, when he was passed away, so the Minchas Elazar wrote a letter of Nicham Avelim to the wife of the Marash Engel, to the wife of this Paisik of Shmuel Engel. You find different things like that. The bottom line is that Chesed in such a form is appropriate for a man to do for a woman, or vice versa, obviously with the right boundaries. Whereas the idea of giving the suda one for another, that seems to be a different type of care that would be not appropriate. Now we're going to continue here with Siv Beis. Avel Echayla, if a person who's sitting Shiva, who's mourning, or a person that's ill, Einan Tzrichin Lamoid Afilu Mipnei Nasi. If a very distinguished person comes, even a prince, even a person who has the status of a Jewish king, comes, he does not have to stand. Why? Derech Eretz Hu, because it's a proper Sheim Echad writes Lechabed Es Chaver V'Lokim Milfonov. And now what happens? So first of all, the halach is that they don't need to stand, because the idea is that in this situation, it's not the place for showing that sort of kavod. That the idea is that this person is in mourning or is ill, and therefore the distinguished person should come and there's not an obligation to accord him that type of respect. Now, The Kitzur continues. Now, what if this distinguished Rav or whoever it is goes to B'nach HaAvel and everyone just automatically sort of feels they should get up? So the Rav or the Gadol who should tell them, Shev, sit. That's what they should say. Now, the point here is very interesting. That when this respectable person comes in and everyone sort of naturally gets up, so out of humility and out of derech eretz, you should say, sit, meaning you don't have to get up for me. That's understandable. Now, the problem is that there's a concept that one should not say that to the mourner directly. And the reason is because Chazal felt it was like an ayin hara, wasn't a good way of talking, because when you're telling the avot to sit, what you're really telling him is to stay in your situation of mourning. So it was looked at as not auspicious, and therefore you could tell the other people to sit, but one shouldn't tell the mourner to sit, because it's sort of saying stay in your situation of mourning, and obviously want them to come out of it and to go on with life and to go on to better times. Now, I was thinking that there's a simple way of dealing with it, which is just to say, instead of saying sit, just to say it's not necessary, you know, please don't get up, you know, something like that, where it would seem as long as you're not telling the mourner to actually sit down, then it should not be a problem. Now, let's just see this inside of the kitzur. But to the avel or the chayla, one should not say to sit. Because it has a connotation, Shev Bavel Shalcha, that stay in your situation of mourning, heaven forbid, Shev Bechel Shalcha, or stay in your position of being ill. Siv Gimel discusses also a few more ideas of the appropriate way of expressing oneself in these situations. Le'emer Adam, a person shouldn't say, Le'nefrati Kifi Ma'asi Aroyim, sort of a form of humility to say that, you know, even though this tragedy happened, I didn't get paid up for all my bad deeds, meaning to say that I really deserve more, and the Hashem just spared me. Now, what's wrong? It sounds sort of very nice to say that a person accepts that what happened, and they realize that Hashem was merciful even in these situations. So what's wrong? The reason is, not just to open their mouth to the Satan, meaning, again, it's not considered to be a good thing to talk in a way that has a connotation that bad things should happen. Because it sort of has a connotation that a person is saying that I didn't get paid up for everything, and therefore I really deserve more problems. And a person shouldn't say that, because there is a strength of speech, that speech could bring on certain things supernaturally. There is an interesting piece from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in Kaivitz Aras on Ksubis, which talks in general about the concept of Koyach HaDibur, that Hashem gave a person the ability to talk, and that talk has the ability to do things. For example, we know that a tzaddik who gives a curse, a klala, right, that thing could happen even if the tzaddik didn't mean it to happen. For example, Yaakov and Rachel, right, that he didn't know that Rachel had taken the idols of Lavan, and he said whoever took them shouldn't live. And even though it obviously was a mistake, because if he wouldn't have known it was Rachel, he wouldn't have said that. But the words of Yaakov Avinu had such power that it ended up causing Rachel to die in childbirth during the birth of Binyamin. So we see a concept that this is what Rabbi Chanan points out, that there's a strength of talk. Hashem gave a person a strength of talk, and therefore a person should be careful how they use it. Now let's continue with Sif Dalet along the same lines. L'yemer Adam L'Avo, a person shouldn't say to the mourner, Malach Allah says, what could you have done? You can't change things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. It sounds, again, like a very sort of consoling statement. Listen, what can you do? We have to accept. But the problem is that there's a connotation here that sort of sounds like that it's not for the best. In other words, we know, when we make the bracha, Baruch Adai in HaEmes, we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the true judge. What we're saying is that, as a Jew, we believe that not only do we accept what Hashem does, but we know that somehow, even though it's so hard to understand, but somehow it's for the good. So therefore, if a person is going to console the mourner and say, listen, we got to accept it, what can we do? What you're really saying is that this is not the best. And even though it's hard to internalize why it may be the best at that time, but we know that it is the best, and therefore that way of talking should be avoided. And this is what the kids explains. Kizel Ken Gidduf, it's like talking improperly against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, demashma, that it sort of sounds like ha'imhay afshel shanais, that if one would be able to change it, ha'im shana, that he would change, and it's not for the best. But one should at least try to accept the gzera, the decree of heaven, ba'ava, with love, meaning to say that this is the best thing, even though it may be so difficult to understand. Sifhei. Now, the Kitzur is discussing with us the place where Shiva should be held. And it says the most optimum place for the Shiva to be is in the place that the person actually passed away. And the reason is because that's where the Neshama left. And therefore, when they come and they say condolences over there, so the Neshama has a certain pleasure, certain comfort from doing that. And this is what the Kitzur explains, Ki ba'isa makam nefesh hames misabelas, because that's where the soul of the person who passed away mourns, v'sham tzrichim litin lo tanchumen, and that's where the consoling should take place. Now, obviously today, where most people pass away in a hospital setting, so obviously it's not possible to sit Shiva over there, but they do usually sit, let's say, in the house or the place of dwelling of the Nifter, which that also perhaps is more of a connection to the Nifter. The Kitzur continues and says, "Umitzvah l'spal shom ba'asara," and it's a mitzvah to daven there, shachas v'arvis, the morning and evening prayers. "Va'afilu ein shem avel," even if there's no mourner present, "ki yesh bozeh nachas ruach l'neshama," because this gives pleasure to the soul of the deceased. "V'miyesh avel," and if the avel is there, "mitzdarf l'minyan," he can add to the minyan. Now, it's interesting because many people have a custom that the mourner davens for the amud, leads the services. This is actually a question because some say that a mourner, because he's in mourning, shouldn't be the one to lead the services. So again, there are various customs whether or not the mourner leads the services. Sometimes a grandchild does, because a grandchild has a connection to the one that's deceased, but it's not actually in mourning at the time. V'yaviyu l'sham sefer Torah mikaidim, and it says they should bring their sefer Torah. V'yachinu l'makam karoi alzman sheyispalu sham, and they prepare a proper place for it, because obviously the sefer Torah needs to be held in great respect, and that's when they keep the Torah there for that time. There is a discussion about moving a sefer Torah to a new place if it's a public sefer Torah, if it belongs to the shul, and not reading it less than three times. If the sefer Torah belongs to the congregation, to the tzibur, so it's a question if one's allowed to bring it to a new place, take it out of the shul, unless one lays there three times. So what many times they'll do is, let's say the avil, the mourner, is there on Monday Monday and Thursday, that's when they lay in the Torah. So they'll also lay in Shabbos and Mincha, they'll read the Torah Shabbos Mincha time, even though really the avil could go to shul, in order that it should be three times in that place. My understanding is that a sefer Torah that's either private or, say, certain places in larger communities, they actually have sefer Torah that are set aside to be used for avelim. So those sefer Torah do not have this issue. It's only a public sefer Torah has this issue that it shouldn't be used, put into a new place, and not used less than three times. The Kitzur continues, "Im yesh b'shnei vatim mesim." So in the same area, there's two deceased people, ba'echad yeshem avel, ba'echad ein shem avel. In one of them, there's actual mourner sitting there, and the other one, there's not. Ve'ein b'irahu k'dei l'chalik she'ispalu kan v'kan ba'asara. There's not enough people to make two minyanim, yispalu b'bayis she'ein shem avel. So they should daven in the house that there's no one mourning there. And the reason seems to be, I guess, because since the idea is to give pleasure to the neshama, if there's no one sitting there at all, then at least they should daven there. Now it says at the end of Shacharis, at the end of the morning prayer, the custom is to say the following tillim. Lamatseach Shimu Zois Kol Amen, that's Kapitul Mem Tes, that's chapter 49. It's also proper to learn Mishnayos there, and he points out in the parentheses that Mishnah, the word Mishnah, is the same letters as Neshama, which means soul. Now in Siv Vav, the Kitzur continues to talk about the different halachas, the different laws regarding how the minyan is supposed to conduct itself when they daven, when they pray during the 7 days of mourning. Ein arum hal b'beis haniftar, yim yeshem avel toich shiva. One does not say halal in the house of the avel, in the house of the mourner, if the mourner is there during the first 7 days. Mishum dehavei kamei leg l'rosh. Why? What's the reason? Because we say in halal, that the deceased people will not praise Hashem, therefore it's inappropriate for the avil, for the mourner, to say that, because it's sort of not being respectful to the one that was passed away, who obviously cannot do that anymore. However, says the Keter, im yesham cheder acher, but if there's another room, then the mourner can go to the other room, v'atzibur yamar ha-hal, then the tzibur will recite the hal. So basically the point is that the issue is not saying halal in the house of the deceased, the issue is saying it with the mourner. So therefore if the mourner could go to a different room, then it's okay for them to say halal. And the issue is only if there's no other place for him to go, and he's going to be in the same room, that could be an issue as far as reciting halal. Now the Kitzur continues, v'im ein shom cheder acher, and if there's no other room, so what do you do then? Azai b'rosh chodesh. So what happens? So they're not going to recite the halal. Now these people, all the people that came for the minyan, are going to go home, and they will not have said halal. So should they say halal or not? Azai, says the Kitzur, b'rosh chodesh ein tzrichim lomer achar kach halal v'leisam. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, where the obligation of halal is only a custom, and that's why, for example, the Sfaradim don't even make a bracha, Ashkenazim make a bracha, but because it's only a custom, therefore they don't have to go and repeat halal again when they get home, because then they were in a situation where they couldn't say it because the mourner was there, therefore they don't have to repeat it. But on Chanukah, which is obligation, because one of the things that the Chachamim instituted was that they should say halal to thank Hashem for the miracle, tzrichim lomer halal b'veisam, then halal should be said at home, because that is an obligation. Now, the Kitzur continues, v'mispalim b'beis hanifter v'ein shem avil. We mentioned before that it's a mitzvah to daven in the house of the deceased, even if there is no mourner there, oy b'beis avil she'ena b'beis hanifter, or they are davening in the house of the mourner, but it's not the house where the person passed away. Then they could say halal even on Rosh Chodesh. But the avil should not say the halal. Mishum shenever, as it says, because it says this is the day that Hashem did for us, and we're happy, and it's not a happy time for him. So what it basically seems from the Kitzur is that there's two elements. That when we have the mourner there, and it's the place where the person passed away, so then halal is not said in the house at all, unless the avil can leave the room. But if the avil cannot leave the room, then halal is not said in the house. However, if the avil is there, but it's not the place where the person passed away, so then halal could be recited, but just the avil should not say certain parts of it. I'm sorry, the avil should not say halal at all. And also, if they're davening, if they're praying in a house where the person passed away, but there's no avil there, so then they could say it as well, because since there's no mourner present. So basically, in order for it to be an issue, you need both things together. You need the mourner in the house of the one that was deceased. Now the Kitzur addresses another issue with halal, which is that we know on the seventh day of Shiva, after shachas, after morning prayers, and so everyone consoles the mourner, and then he ends the shiva, because you don't need complete days. Now the question is, since it's Chanukah, since it's an obligation, if it would be an obligation to say the halal like on Chanukah, not like on Rosh Chodesh, so does he have to say halal now that he already got up from shiva in the middle of the day? And this is what the Kitzur says. If the seventh day is on Chanukah, after the mourners leave, so then the mourning is finished, so then he has to say the halal, because it's an obligation. That some say that on Chanukah, halal is said even in the house of the mourner, because because, again, since it's such an obligation, then we never say that the fact that it's in the Hasla Morna should override the obligation of saying Hal. One last point, and that is Berosh Chodesh Shechal B'Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, Hal B'Tzibur, Gam Beis Avil, then because there's no mourning on Shabbos, so even if they were to be davening for whatever reason in the Hasla Morna, then they would definitely say Hal. The Ein Avil is B'Shabbos because, as we said, there is no mourning on Shabbos. Siv Zayin. If you look in the Gemara, you'll find that there are certain brachas, there are certain blessings that are recited when one does zimun in the house of a mourner. And the Kitzur addresses that here and says the following. Berachas Avelus Shav Berachas Amazon. Those blessings that are mentioned in the Gemara that one says in the house of the mourner, Lo Nehigi Achshav, the custom is not to say them. Kisayim Chem Ala Paiskim, because they rely on the opinions that say, Tisrilu, Delay Nisakna Elokim Shav Berachas Amazon. It's only said when one says Berachas Amazon with 10. So again, if you look, it's brought in many Sfarim, these brachas, and the Kitzur is explaining why, at least in his areas, it was not prevalent to say them, because his understanding was that the obligation is only when you have 10 people eating together, which is obviously not very common to happen in the house of the mourner. So this completes the laws of Nicham Avelim. It is brought that for the first 3 days, a custom not necessarily to be Menachem, to console. Again, these are more customs than halachas, so therefore if there's a reason to do so, or definitely if the Avil needs it, then all that could be done. But there is brought such a concept, and that's why many times people wait till later in the week to pay a Shavuot call.